Prophecy and fulfillment are common enough concepts that we tend to understand them or interact with them somewhat on the regular. As a society, our favorite prophecies have to do with the end of the world. Both Christians and unbelievers alike weave potential doom and the end of all things in and out of the way we speak about religion, literature, politics, and even depict it in film. The doomsday model of prophecy is usually attached to an if-then proposition. If you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do this, then this will happen. Sometimes the if-then is about preventing a prophecy from coming true. Vote for the right candidate, or America will crumble into despair. Drive the right car, or the environment will collapse. The if-then does two distinct things in our type of popular prophecy. First, it inserts uncertainty. And second, it attaches a level of personal responsibility between the hearer and the prophecy. If we first deal with the uncertainty principle, we can see sort of the whole driving force behind prophecy in our minds, imaginations, and in the world around us. In this typical model, uncertainty is the power of the prophecy itself. Uncertainty provides the fear and the motivation, the drive for things to be fulfilled, or sometimes even for them to be stopped. It gets the prophet or the predictor off the hook as well. If the prophecy doesn't come true, it's not really his fault. It has something to do with the uncertainty of how it is delivered or the uncertainty of what that end or that doomsday or whatever it may be actually is. If it doesn't come true, then maybe somebody intervened. This is, of course, then puts the weight of prophetic problems and transitions them onto us. It becomes personal responsibility. By inserting uncertainty, it becomes the job of you, the individual, the enlightened person, to watch over the prediction and to do what is necessary to fulfill it. Christmas is also all about prophecy and fulfillment. We heard this especially last Sunday in our Matthew text, and if you were paying attention to the readings this morning, it is on repeat again in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 1 from last week in verse 22 says, "All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." Then we have Matthew 2:15 from our own reading today, "And they remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son." Then we had verse 23, "And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." There's that word again, fulfilled. Even our epistle references fulfilledness or fullness. When the fullness of time had come. But Christmas changes what prophecy is, both from our modern context, but even for God's people, for Israel of the Old Testament and the Israel of Jesus' life, and especially now for us, the true church, the final Israel, Christians. The shift is that prophecy is no longer a guess or a prediction. A prophet is not somebody vaguely looking into the future. It is not an if-then statement. It is, consistently in these verses, a word from the Lord. God uses prophets to declare certainty. Now, this certainty is not always good news. Sometimes it is quite frightful or demanding, even. The Ten Commandments are a prophecy, a declaration from God, but they are a demand. They are a word from God given by his spokesman, in that case, Moses. Our Old Testament lesson today also saw very harsh but very certain words from God. We had God speak through the prophet saying, "And he turned to them," he being the Lord, "to be their enemy, and he fought himself against them," speaking of his people of Israel. The proclamation of God is a creative and active word. It's an action that occurs when God has spoken, like his speaking of the creation into existence. His prophets are given this word, not coming up with it, not vaguely looking at it and then speculating. They're given this certain word from God. This is why our text says, as the Lord spoke through the prophet. It strikes down often, but it also, as our Old Testament lesson finished, delivers and saves. Fulfillment is the word we use, the word we are given, for saying that God's word has acted. It's a decision word. We get to look at an event or a cause and say, there it is. God has done what he has said. How do you know? How are you confident to look at things in the world or look at Scripture and declare, this has been fulfilled. This has been accomplished. God has done what he has said. The key that we are given as Christians and from the Scripture to look at all prophecy, to look at all fulfillment, is Christmas. Christmas shows that the perfect fulfillment is and always has been the same thing. It has very little to do with the specific events and very much to do with being in Christ. Fulfillment of God's word, fulfillment of God's creative act, is always in Christ. This text in particular, depicting Christ going down into Egypt, shows us that when we see something as fulfillment, we may only be seeing the beginning of the story, or seeing fulfillment in a small way, or that fulfillment only really begins to make sense when it can actually deliver, finally, Christ. The words of the prophet Hosea, which were at the beginning of our introit. The introit was an interesting text this morning because often the introit is just a psalm. It's most frequently a section out of one psalm. But today it was sort of a combination of multiple texts. You had the first text in our introit. If you open your bulletin and you go to the section that I spoke, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. That's from Hosea 10. That's from Hosea chapter 10. But then the rest of the introit comes from the prophet Isaiah. So we have an interesting combination of things here, both seemingly a recounting of history in Israel's life. Hosea is speaking about God's love and the faithlessness of God's people after the Exodus. It's very clear if we read a longer section from Hosea. So instead of just this first verse, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Here's what it says if we go one verse further. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Who is this describing? Who is Hosea describing? Does it sound like he's describing the future? No. He's describing a past tense. When Israel was a child, in the past, out of Egypt, I previously called my son. He's talking about the Exodus. He's talking about the Exodus of God's people from Egypt. And obviously, when we recount a story like the Israelites' Exodus from Egypt, we see that the Lord was faithful, always fulfilling his promises to his people, delivering him. And yet the history of Israel after the Exodus, well, we all know, it's not a very happy one, is it? What we see here is that a prophecy's fulfillment can seem to be one thing. God has already fulfilled this word from Hosea. He's calling God's people to recount the previous faithfulness of him. So it can seem to be one thing. The Exodus from Egypt, though, was not a final thing unto itself. And yet, when we hear that story, has it occurred to you, it certainly has not occurred very frequently to me, that Exodus is a prophecy? Exodus isn't just a story. How about something like Noah's Ark? Has it occurred to you that Noah's Ark is not just a story of a fulfillment that God has already done, but a prophecy to be fulfilled at a later date? And that's what our text today reveals when Christ is taken down to Egypt. He is the perfect Exodus. an exodus without faithlessness. It's the exodus fulfilled, the story of Israel fulfilled. The same goes, as I was saying, with Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark, the flood waters, are a salvation unto themselves, a fulfillment of God's promise to Noah, which is a prophecy of its own, but finally is fulfilled in Christ, in the baptism of Christ, where we are saved through the flood waters of baptism. The stories of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Old Testament, can be fulfilled multiple times in multiple ways, but yet their fulfillment is actually always for the same purpose, for revealing and delivering Jesus Christ. Why did God deliver the Israelites from Egypt? It was because he had made a promise to them, starting all the way back with Adam and Eve in the garden, that a Savior would come from this line. From these people, he would bring his son. The Exodus is not just to free them one time, but is to bring about Christ, to show his eternal faithfulness. The Exodus is then finalized at the coming of Christ. When Christ goes down into Egypt, he shows that he is the entirety of Israel. He is the entire purpose for Israel's existence. It is not because they were a good people. It was not because they possessed the law and obeyed it, but it was because they had the promise of Jesus Christ. They were the people who were promised to bring about the Messiah. And now the same is true for us. When we want to look at prophecies and events, they may have minor fulfillments in our life when things come to pass. But we can only truly fully understand or see a prophecy fulfilled when we know that it comes back to Jesus Christ. This would save Christians a lot of headache when it came to things like I was talking about at the beginning of the sermon, when it came to predicting or looking at the end of the world. Christians could be saved a lot of headache looking at texts like Revelation if we believed or saw the same message that Christmas is proclaiming to us, that all prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. Have wars and rumors of wars that Revelation speaks of been fulfilled? Absolutely. Human history is full of war, is full of death. Some of the largest amounts of human death are within our memory and grasp. They're just a couple of generations behind us. Certainly, if you were to look at the events of this world, you could find all sorts of fulfillment from all sorts of prophecies. But they are not the total fulfillment. They are not really the full fulfillment. They might be a fulfillment, but Christ is the fulfillment of God's prophecies. Christ is the fulfillment of God's proclamation. Prophecy is not meant to be a blurry look into the future to cause you fear and then to strike you into action. Prophecy is, and always has been, a certain word from God. When God says, "You are my enemy, you have been faithless, you have sinned against me," that is certain. It is a condemnation of you as a sinner. But when Christ says, "I have loved you, I take your sin upon myself, I have died with your sin," it is a fulfillment of that wrath of God, that proclamation of death against you. Christ not only fulfills the Exodus, but also fulfills the prophecy of your death. For if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Who fulfills that prophecy? Christ. Christ will surely die for you, for your sins. He surely has died. And yet we then continue to have proclamations, prophecies from God. It is not just an end in death, but is a resurrection. You are risen from the dead. You possess the resurrection of the dead, not because of some if-then that you will complete in this lifetime, but because of faith in Christ, because Christ has risen from the dead, and he gives you his resurrection. Christmas is, like the Exodus, like the Ark, a big story. It's a beautiful story. It's one that we can place images and memory around. It's one that is easy to gather around and put cultural memory and emphasis and meaning into, but it is really here to deliver. Christmas is here to deliver Christ as fulfillment. Fulfillment of not some things, not a handful of things, but of all things. He becomes the key to the scriptures. The scriptures are no longer a mystery book. They are no longer a key to figure out what to do with your life. They are finally, always, and totally fulfilled by the work of Jesus Christ. If you are having a tough time understanding a text or a section of scripture, the question that you have to ask yourself is the same question that was at the beginning of this sermon. It's the question we have when we approach every section of scripture. How is Christ? What does it mean for Christ to be the fulfillment of this text? Texts in the past, texts in the future. These texts are all fulfilled by Christ. The perfect exodus down to Egypt to escape death, now fulfilled in Christ, who comes out of Egypt at the fullness of time when God has decided. Christ who has marched to the cross for you. Christ who has risen from the dead for you. Our certainty as Christians, our certainty as readers of the scripture, is in prophecy. It is in prophecy fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Prophecy is a proclamation, not an uncertainty, not a guess. It is a declaration to you about who you are and who God is. And the good news is that you are exactly who God has come to save. You are a sinner in need of salvation, and Christ is the Savior coming to fulfill the needs of his people. And he has, and he will, for you. Amen.